From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, U.S. country of origin legislation is being challenged at the WTO. The Federal Tax Agency in Argentina has excluded a second company from grain trade on tax evasion. Last week it was Bunge, this week it's Monsanto. And the IMF believes the price of crude oil will ease over the next 5 years. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly, and then I'll tell you how rainy days are really good for staying inside, unless, of course, you're a scavenger hunter at the University of Illinois and looking for a few extra weeds. It's all about a crop sciences class and happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, in Chicago, on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat down 29 cents at $8.57. March at 868.5, down 28.5 in Chicago in July of next year. That's the harvest month, 20 and a quarter lower at $8.41 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City, $8.88, down rather $8.80, down 16 cents for the day. All those, of course, are not settlement prices, but closes for the day. December futures in the corn pit from Chicago also closed. 753.5, down 19 and 3 quarters. The March at 753, 20 and a quarter lower. The May at 746 and a quarter, 21 and a half lower. And July futures, 744, down 16 and a half cents. December contract at 633.5, down 12 and a half. November beans, $15.23, 25 and a half cents lower. January at 1523.5, down 25. The March at $14.92 and a quarter, down 28 and a half. And the May at $14.50 and a half, 27 and three quarters lower. And July soybeans, $14.39 and a half, down 27 and three quarters. Next year's November contract, 2013 at $13.37, down 16 and a half cents. Bean meal futures at $4.74.30, a settlement price there. $8.40 lower. Bean oil at $49.89, down 99 on the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby 42 and a half lower, and the feeders were up 42 and a half. Back in just a couple minutes for our commercial stations. The rest of you, stay with us. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $91.85 a barrel, up 23 cents, rather down 23 cents. November futures in the RBOB gasoline at 288 and 9 tenths, that's 6 and a half cents lower. The ethanol at 243 and a half, down 3 and 2 tenths of a cent, and the spread is 3 and 3 tenths of a cent lower at 45 and 4 tenths of a cent today. Natural gas at 360, down 4 tenths of a cent. Heating oil at 322 and 2 tenths, down 3 and 4 tenths of a cent, and the gold futures at $1,758.50 an ounce, down $10.90. The U.S. dollar at 79.6, that's up 0.1. CRB index is at 309.30 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and a high of 59 degrees on an east wind at 9 to 11 miles an hour. It'll gust all the way to 16 miles an hour this afternoon. And then tonight for a Friday evening as we look at football ahead, 20% chance of showers in the area and thunderstorms, that coming after 2 a.m. Increasing cloudiness, a low of about 44 degrees on an east wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour. That'll gust to 15 tonight. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms set at 30%, mainly after 8 a.m. in the morning, cloudy, a high near 76 with a south wind at 13 to 17, gusting to 26. Saturday evening, showers and thunderstorms after 2 a.m., a low of 63 on a south wind at 16 to 18, and Sunday showers and thunderstorms mainly after 8 in the morning central time, a high near 72 degrees on a breezy south-southwest wind at 18 to 22, gusting to 33 miles an hour. The chance of rainfall in the area on Sunday is set at 80%. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering federal crop insurance for 2013. More information is available from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. On the phone line is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Well, it didn't take long for the old glow of the USDA report to wear off, did it?
No, and I think, you know, the calls today into the office were much more significant from a standpoint of what in the heck is going on here? Why is the trade doing this? And I think that this market today, keeping in mind the USDA report, I think fundamentally gave us a reason and fundamentals to give us a harvest low, especially in the corn, since most of that's in the rearview mirror at this point, and in the not-too-distant future, probably a harvest low in the beans. But we continue to wait for the charts and the technicals. And what I mean by that, I think, is that the fundamentals are there, but are the funds there? And I think the technicals and the funds kind of run one and the same. And one of the things that kind of drew my attention late in the session, I looked at the weekly export sales. I looked at the weather. I even looked at the midday updates for Mato Grosso, Brazil, and they actually dried out and got hotter for next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So it just didn't seem like there was anything supply-demand-wise or on the micro side that would make a lot of sense for what we had to see and witness and feel today. And it looked like to me, when I looked at all the commodities I'd look at, when I saw that only cotton, coffee, feeders, and hogs were the only higher markets out there of, you know, 20 or 25 different ones out there in total, it made sense then that it had to be coming from the outside markets. And I think that's really what we're finding is this friction in the outside markets coming back after the, like you talked about in the question, coming back after this, you know, really happy, gleeful, fundamentally supportive report that we got yesterday.
Well, what part of the outside markets are we looking at? What do you think is really the driving force?
I think the big thing was that we did see gold probably going to close down now for the biggest weekly loss in about 2 months. About $25 an ounce is what we're looking at for a weekly loss in gold. And some of the metal analysts that I like to follow would suggest that the consumer confidence numbers from this morning, the PPI, the producer price index numbers from this morning, and the jobless claims from yesterday were all neutral or supportive or friendly and indicative of a better or an improving U.S. economy. And I think that goes back to the quantitative easing asset bubble, if you will, that we have in both the stocks and the commodities. And that's where I think these two are so closely linked, that if the commodities are pulled lower by the equities, it's probably going to be because the quantitative easing premium that's in the market right now is going to be pulled out. And I think that's probably the best answer I have for you right now.
Is the gold bean down $25? I must phrase this right. That's not necessarily a bad thing in the commodity markets, right?
No, it's not. And it could be a correction. And I think that's what I was also trying to point out to clients today, is that the trade is trading in a 1 to 3 day horizon. I mean, that's what we just have to get used to, especially as we get through some of the fundamentals of harvest or planting or something that is on the micro level. If we go back to the macro picture, they're going to trade a lot more volatile and a lot more short term. And so that's where the weekly charts didn't give us the buy signal or the confirmation of the harvest low at the end of this week, but they also didn't go low enough to spur an issue, technically speaking, that would say we need to see more fund liquidation next week when we come back.
What is it that tells you that the trade's not looking out any further than a couple of days?
I think it goes back to the technical trading models that and the quantitative trading that we see that is increasingly prevalent. I think the last mercantile numbers that I looked at said that almost 70% of the grain trade is put through by electronic, and the vast majority of that is being done through the quantitative or computerized model trading formulas that we, you know, had to get used to. And I think that's really what it boils down to me, is that when you see the type of margin calls that we're looking at as far as margin requirements, and you see the speed at which things are moving because of these quantitative models, it just brings more importance and heightens the importance to the charts, especially some of the moving averages and some of the key lows and key highs from other report periods or other ends of quarters or so on and so forth.
Now, they could literally be doing a 1 to 3 day look, but be trading in all months, or they could be simply
exactly.
trading in the spot month.
That's exactly right.
The latter would be far worse, I would think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like the Dow Jones Commodity Index in particular, if you look up on their website as far as how that tracks, it buys 5 or 6 commodities out as far as contract months out and weights okay. it proportionately. And it's got a very complex formula, but it's the same formula month in and month out.
So they're trading in all months or at least future months, but they're trading only 1 to 3 days out in each of those months.
I think that's where the
current time frame, 1 to 3 days out on those months.
Yeah, I think that's where you separate the index funds and the commodity trading funds and the CTAs that trade the spreads and trade the very short term maybe are a little bit different from the commodity index funds. But my point being with that Dow Jones UBS commodity index is there is a formulation and a mathematical model that that the trade increasingly sees as being the most of the volume that's being seen across the board.
Is there any way to take advantage of that knowledge?
I don't think you want to. I was talking to several clients. I seriously mean that.
You don't want to play with that big of money. Yeah.
Well, it goes back to, are you a producer or are you a speculator? And I think that's where we should use our bins. We should use the supply-demand fundamentals when it comes to how we make our revenue on the farm. And that's where it goes back to trying to kind of block out and put blinders on these markets. When you feel like that the supply-demand fundamentals can override the macro fundamentals. And I think that's one of these periods. With yesterday's reports, I think given a little bit of weather change in the bean market next week, you could see the supply-demand fundamentals and the micro fundamentals fight off some of the macro negativity. And that's kind of going to be the key to what I write about this weekend in copy, is if we do see that, then that sets a marker down that the supply-demand in wheat, the supply-demand in corn, still historically tight, do have a reason to stay buoyant and don't have to be pulled down as hard by the outside markets.
It seems to me there's reason for each of those three commodities to lead. Which one will?
You know, I had another question asked almost the exact same way, was which one would you store? And I think the mm-hmm. one that I like the best to store is the corn, because I think between the report and the yield reduction, and I think the fact that South America is going to be running out of corn in the next couple months, and it's also got the wheat now underneath it as far as fundamentally supportive, I like the corn more in terms of a stored commodity, whether it's on farm or commercially. Yeah. Beans, it's more of a pure weather play, and it's hard to store something where you just got a yield increase. So I think the corn is more the leader to the upside. The wheat is more the leader to the upside. Beans, unless you're talking about South American weather, probably more of the weight and the more the follower to the downside.
Hmm. How about livestock? Anything?
Yeah, I think you're looking at some pretty poor pork exports that were reported by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We saw a very large weekly kill in hogs of 2.4 million head. I feel very comfortable with the fourth quarter hedges, looking to get some finish the first quarter and get some of these $100 summer marketings locked in the next couple weeks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can always hear him again at willag.org. You can hear Commodity Week there, too, after about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest will be Joe Persaki from USDA NASS.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, is on hand now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, at the request of Canada and Mexico, World Trade Organization Director General Pascal Lamy has appointed an arbitrator to determine the deadline for the United States to comply with a WTO ruling against U.S. country of origin labeling requirements for meat and meat products. Canada and Mexico earlier requested WTO arbitration. The WTO's appellate body ruled on June 29th that U.S. cool rules violate the WTO's agreement on technical barriers to trade by treating imported livestock from Mexico and Canada less favorably than U.S. livestock. Federal tax agency AFIP from Argentina has suspended the local subsidiary of agriculture biotechnology company Monsanto from its registry of grain traders. Exclusion from the registry means the income tax withheld on domestic grain trading rises to 15% from 2%, as well as the withholding of a 10.5% sales tax. An Argentine government officer claims that Monsanto's Argentine unit evaded $70 million of income taxes by borrowing money from Monsanto shell companies in Panama and Bermuda and writing off the interest it paid on those loans to reduce its taxable income. Monsanto says that the company is in strict compliance with tax requirements and provides all information required of it by authorities. The International Monetary Fund says that oil prices are set to ease over the next 5 years as global production capacity increases, but ongoing geopolitical risks could cause some turbulence. The IEA said in its medium-term oil market report that oil production capacity is expected to grow to 102 million barrels a day by 2017, well above demand forecasts of 95.7 million barrels a day. The IEA also says that China, the world's second largest oil consumer, could become a new oil product exporter powerhouse if all planned projects of refining capacity expansion in the country go ahead as planned. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange says that Argentina's 2012-13 wheat production will fall to just 10.12 million metric tons due to a sharp drop in planted area. The forecast marks the first production estimate by the exchange of the season. That's way down from the 13.2 million tons the government estimates was grown last season. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record at 4:30 this afternoon, post to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock Central Time this Friday evening. That's tonight. Our guest this week is none other than Joe Prusaki at USDA NASS. We'll talk about yesterday's crop production report during Commodity Week up at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Now up next, you know, rainy days are really good for staying inside unless, of course, you're on a scavenger hunt at the University of Illinois. I'll have more with Illinois students of crop sciences. Students of agriculture at the University of Illinois learned practical lessons. One very rainy day this month, they spent an afternoon in the field on a very unusual scavenger hunt.
This is yellow fox right here. Okay.
Their professor, molecular weed scientist Pat Trail, has them identifying weeds by just about any means possible.
There's pigweed. Smell it.
These students are learning a couple of lessons and earning class credit at the same time. Practically speaking, some weeds can be identified by smell. Not pigweed, mind you, but some others.
You smell it. I've never smelled ginseng weed.
I don't remember what the ginseng weed smells like.
Oh, how can you not remember that smell?
That smells like, I don't know.
Stinks.
It stinks.
So it's a weed scavenger hunt. They've been learning... This semester so far, they've been learning to identify 65 different weed species. And so typically we bring them the weed specimens and talk about them, show them to them in class and so on. And now they're getting ready to do their exams. And so this is the last chance to review where we bring them out to the field, divide them up into groups, and they have to go find the weeds, bring them back to us and correctly identify them. And we give them, try and, you know, the 65 in their list, whichever team brings us the most correctly identified gets bragging rights and some extra credit points for the semester.
Both will be well-earned, and if Professor Tranel's class is paying attention, well-learned. If that is the case, the job prospects after college as a degreed crop scientist, well, they're better than average.
Field Pennycress.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're Pennycress?
Yeah, I know it was because I grew a patch here, and then they dumped it over there, and it's been 2 years ago.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Well, it's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to check the cash grain market on the phone line. Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Combine's been back in the field bringing beans in, or are you just about all done there?
No heavy on beans this week. We finally got things fit to where they could really roll. It's been a struggle. Beans have been tough and hard to combine, but yesterday was a big bean day.
You know, I talked to my brother, and he seemed to think that one of the problems was that they died, and then they turned then they lived, and they turned green again, and there were fresh green pods on them. Is that what you've been hearing, too?
Zombie beans.
Yeah.
Yes. We saw a little of that.
Oh, I like it, zombie beans. Well, that's a new term. We've got green stem and all kinds of other things, but zombie beans are a good one. So are they any good?
A really mixed bag. We have some beautiful big soybeans out there, and I have some that are ugly little wrinkled raisin beans. Now, there's no discount for being ugly in a soybean, which is a good thing, but, you know, a mixed bag. But in large, they're actually pretty nice, big, good-looking soybeans.
Tell me about bases for both corn and beans.
Pretty quiet through the course of the week. I mean, when you see the corn and bean market moving, 30, 40 cents in a given day, and the basis just sits there, that's unusual. But like one analyst I saw said, a 35-cent move isn't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm. So as you look forward, do you expect basis for either of these crops to get any stronger than it is already?
I think we could see some pop back. Once again, we're sitting here where cash is moving, and once we get done with the crop and get it put away, there's not any incentive to see additional sales, at least for a while. People will be in position where they want to be. So I think we could see a little bit of the traditional post-harvest snapback. Barge freight transportation costs, same thing there. The river's backed off some on barge freight, so that's helped their bases. There's been some premiums trading on buying trains in, so that could help when you get past that and don't have the surge wanting to work through the door at the same time.
Farmers were pretty avid sellers of the corn crop and putting it in your hands rather than their own. How difficult is it for you to handle that crop?
As far as just right now, hedging isn't really a problem on
no,
it.
No. The storage.
The storage?
Yeah. And I've got...
Unfortunately, this is an example of what happens when you have plenty of space available for the crop year.
Okay, I'll leave it open-ended on that one. Thanks
okay.
So much. Hey, your bids are what?
$7.60 on corn and $15.14 on soybean.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's Farmers' Day in Florida. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus arrived at the Bahamas. In 1810, the first Oktoberfest was celebrated in Munich. Oktoberfest originated as a horse race to celebrate the marriage of the Crown Prince of Bavaria. Today, it is a two-week festival ending on the first Sunday in October, during which more than 1 million gallons of beer are consumed at the Munich Festival. In 1914, Margaret E. Knight died, an American inventor. She invented an improved paper bag machine to make bags with flat bottoms. Knight was one of the most prolific women inventors in history. receiving 27 patents over her lifetime. And in 1965, Paul Hermann Mueller died, a Swiss chemist. He discovered that DDT was a potent insecticide. It was the most widely used insecticide for more than 20 years and helped to increase food production around the world. Due mainly to its accumulation in animals that eat insects and its toxic effects on them and those further up the food chain, it has been banned in the United States since 1972. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Jim Angel apparently out of the office, so I'll give you a quick look at what the nearby forecast is for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies and a high of 59. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. And we'll have a low this evening of 44. Jim Angel actually is listening, and he is now on the phone line to take us through the rest of what the weekend will look like. Hi, Jim. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, tell me about what the weather forecast is for this weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, temperature-wise, it looks pretty good. We'll see highs in the 70s on Saturday there, but probably the big news is we've got rain coming into the region, starting out in northern Illinois throughout Saturday afternoon and evening and on through the rest of the state for Saturday night and Sunday morning. Probably the heaviest amounts will be up in the Chicago area, but we should get at least somewhere around half an inch or so by the time things are done on Sunday. So I may see hear a rumble of thunder, too, especially on Saturday night and early Sunday morning, so that'll be great. But then it'll clear out on Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday we'll have highs in the 60s and maybe into the low 70s there. So nice stretch of fall-like weather as we move into next week.
Yeah, it seems like those are those pretty normal for our highs at this time of year?
Those are. That's pretty close to normal high and low for this time of year, so we're pretty much right on target. We actually were very cold this last week. Those kinds of temperatures we saw were lows down in the low 30s, and it got down to 28 degrees that one night there. So that's actually pretty cold for this time of year.
Yeah, I see that our overnight lows aren't particularly low over the next week or so. Have you checked the 4-inch soil temperature levels lately?
You know, they're running about 56 degrees right now at both the 4- and 8-inch level, so they're still fairly warm and probably will warm up a little bit as we get some sunshine on them through this next week with those highs in the lows, those highs in the 60s and low 70s. So. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be warm for a while longer.
Well, that means those folks that are wanting to put a little anhydrous or nitrogen on should hold off until it cools off. Normally they would go in the third week of October. That's probably not going to be the case.
Probably not this year.
Yeah. Anything further out that would tell you it would cool down enough for that to start to happen?
Well, you know, if you look at the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast, those are actually temperature-wise pretty close to normal right now. We are also expected to be above normal on precipitation, so that we will be on the wet side, but temperatures will be pretty close to normal.
Jim, thanks so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hey, Jim Angel is the Illinois State Water Survey climatologist, and he's at the Prairie Research Institute. You've, of course, been listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to listen in for Commodity Week, willag.org, if you can't pick it up on the radio. The USDA NASA's Joe Persaki will be our guest. I'm Todd Gleason, and you have a great weekend.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.